Paul, and beginning at verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to have kept him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favour you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So, if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. Whangaroa, ki te kapu, a te wairua, ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. In the Holy Gospel from St. Luke's, beginning at verse 25, chapter 14, beginning at 25. Praise and glory to God. The cost of being a disciple. Large crowds were travelling with Jesus. Turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." Te rongapai tene a te karaiti. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ.
Morning. Kia ora e hui hui mai nei, I mihi ana ki ngā mana whenua, he tangata tiriti aho ko Miriam Toku Ingoa. It's great to be sharing with you again this morning. I actually was already going to be sharing, but Bruce has filled in, so it was really good worship this morning, Bruce, thank you. When I was preparing my talk for this morning, I was thinking about how I always like to include a little bit about the royal family and what I'm saying, and I realised that when I lived in Waipukoro, I didn't do that. In Waipukoro, I was often coordinating the services, and one of the things that we did in the offering time was when the offering was being collected, we would play a music video, and it might be a new song that we were teaching the congregation, or it might be just one that resonated with the sermon series. And what I often did, mainly in the first service, because we had two services, we had a 9 o'clock and a 10:30, and in the 9 o'clock service, it was perhaps more the age demographic that's similar to here, and I would play a Cliff Richard video quite often. Any Cliff fans out there? Yeah, oh, that's good. Has anyone seen him in concert? I have, at the Bowl of Brooklyn in New Plymouth. Now, this has absolutely nothing to do with what I'm sharing at all this morning, but I just sort of wanted to gauge the interest in Cliff, and I thought perhaps next time I speak, maybe I might see if I can fit in a Cliff Richard video if it goes along with what I'm saying. And I can sense that it would be well received here, so I'm just going to put that in my memory bank for next time. Okay, so this morning I'm going to share a couple of stories about members of my family, and I just want to preface this by saying that they're both quite controversial, and for some of you they might be a bit of a challenge to hear, and you may not stand on the same side as my family or me, but I just ask that you listen and receive them with an open mind and with love and grace. My grandfather was called Vincent John Bucknell, and he was born in 1920 in Haringey in London. And he was born into a Christian family, and he had a really, really strong faith, and he was a pacifist. In 1940, he was 20 years old when he wrote this letter to the National Service Armed Forces Act 1939, application to the local tribunal by a person provisionally registered in the Register of Conscientious Objectors. My objection to war is based entirely on Christian grounds. I have consecrated my life to God, and therefore I should follow as closely as I can the teachings of Jesus Christ. He has taught me through the New Testament a law of love, and the understanding of this makes it impossible for me to have anything at all to do with the war and the destruction of human beings. I am a member of the Associated Bible Students Forest Gate Church and have met with them regularly for 6 to 7 years. I do not know any Associated Bible students who are serving in the war. We passed a resolution that we were 100% pacifist. The engines I attend are used by the army. He was an engineer, a fitter and turner, so he obviously helped build things to do with the engines. My studies of the Bible show that the teachings of Jesus Christ is one of love. My religion indicates that I must show my love for the peoples of Europe by letting the Germans continue without any resistance except passive resistance. I do not want to lose the war. Our reading this morning from Luke talks about giving up everything to become a disciple of Jesus. My grandfather gave up everything to follow the 6th commandment, you shall not murder. And it came at a cost. When he walked through the streets, people would cross the road so that they didn't have to walk next to him. He was looked down on in society. People thought he was a traitor. In 1955, my grandfather immigrated to New Zealand. The plan was that he would go first and begin work and find a house and prepare, and my granny and my dad and his brother and sister would follow 3 months later. He had a job lined up for him all ready to go. He was an engineer, and he actually helped build the first potato harvester. Just a little West Side note. But when he got to New Zealand, they discovered that he hadn't fought in the war and was a conscientious objector, and suddenly the job vanished. And he had to start from scratch and look for a new job, and his family was already on the boat sailing to New Zealand for this promise of a brighter future. So 16 years after he became a conscientious objector, his faith-based decision was still having a huge cost on his life. Following Jesus and obeying his commandments comes at a cost. In the Bible, we see so many examples of this. Ruth, after the death of her husband and father-in-law, Ruth's mother-in-law pleaded with her to go back to her homeland. Her mother-in-law, Naomi, explained she'd have a better chance of finding a husband if she left, offering this sort of better guarantee, I guess, of security and protection. Ruth's sister-in-law went home, but Ruth decided to stay with Naomi. And you remember those beautiful words that Ruth spoke: "Do not urge me to leave or return from following you, for where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God." Ruth sacrificed, the safety of her future to stay by Naomi's side. And she was willing to sacrifice, you know, a future relationship, perhaps a husband, to honour that relationship that she had with Naomi. But God honoured her sacrifice. Eventually, she married Naomi's family member, Boaz, and had his child, who would eventually be in the, or who was in the lineage of Jesus. Ruth received everything because she was willing to sacrifice. What about Moses? Moses was a Hebrew, but he grew up in an Egyptian palace. When he became older, he realized how badly his people were treated, and he lashed out at an Egyptian who was beating a Hebrew, and he killed him, and he was so scared he ran away. And he made this new life for himself outside Egypt until God called him to go back to Egypt to save his people. Moses had this big list of reasons about why he shouldn't go, shouldn't be the one to help. But God didn't accept his excuses, and eventually Moses gained the courage to leave behind this new life that he'd made for himself and answer the call to deliver his people from Egypt. He sacrificed his comfort, his plans, and this act of desire resulted in delivering millions of slaves out of Egypt. And Mary. Mary was this young woman ready to get married to Joseph, and her life was all planned out. She was probably only about 14, they think. I think that's quite young to get married, actually. And then she was visited by this angel to tell her that she was going to give birth to the Son of God. That's a pretty massive sacrifice, I think. After the angel explained what was going to happen, Mary replied, "I am the Lord's servant. May this happen to me." She must have been an incredibly faithful young woman. She was willing to sacrifice her plans, and her reputation would have been massive. Just imagine what others thought of her for getting pregnant before she was married to Joseph. Even Joseph was going to call off their marriage until an angel came to him in a dream. And God used Mary's willingness and her sacrifice to bring the ultimate salvation to the world. You know, following Jesus can come at a cost. Surrendering our life to him comes at a cost. But there's also a reward often when we do that, when we make that decision. And this morning in the other reading in Philemon, we read about that reward. Or I think it's potential reward because we don't actually know the end of the story. So Paul was writing this letter to Philemon, and it was about a man named Onesimus. And Onesimus had been a slave of the Colossian man Philemon, but he'd run away. Perhaps he'd stolen from him before he'd taken off. But once he got to Rome, something incredible happened, and he'd become a follower of Jesus. And he would be helping Paul in prison, and essentially he'd, you know, turned his life around. But now Paul was sending him back to Philemon, and he was asking him to forgive Onesimus. And in Paul's letter, he talks about the change that he'd seen in his friend. And he explained that he was once useless. I didn't think that was the nicest way of describing somebody. But from the little bit of research that I did, they think it means that he was someone that you couldn't rely on. And then in verse 11 it says, formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful to both you and me. I thought that was nice. But Paul doesn't put Philemon under any obligation, but he appeals to him on the basis of love. And he promises to repay any money that Onesimus might own to Philemon. You know, there's this cost to following Jesus, but there's this great reward, there's forgiveness and restitution. And I like to believe that that's the end result that Onesimus experienced. Even though we don't hear about it, I like to think that Philemon forgave him and they restored that relationship. Now, as I've said before, sorry for everyone who got excited last night, I'm not really a sports fan, apart from the Commonwealth Games and Olympics. But I do know who Michael Jones is. And I know who he is because he sacrificed his career for his faith. Throughout his career of playing rugby for the All Blacks, he stuck to his beliefs that Sunday was sacred and a day of rest. And he didn't play rugby on a Sunday. But it did come at a cost. He wasn't selected to play for the 1991 and 1995 World Cup because most of those games were on a Sunday. And that's a huge cost to an All Black, a huge cost to someone who's a professional sports person. And I think the reward here for Michael Jones might not even have been seen by him. But I think the reward was, one, this example of commitment and faith to people all over the world who didn't know Jesus. This man was prepared to risk selection and his career for keeping the Sabbath. And two, it was an example for those of us who were Christians to examine our own faith and reassess and go, do we put our relationship with Jesus before everything else in our life? You know, would we do what Michael Jones did? So what about us? You know, what are we willing to give up? What do we need to give up in order to follow Jesus and be obedient to him? I think if I had time to sit down and talk to each of you who are already following Jesus, I'm sure I would hear a lot of stories about sacrifices that you've made in order to follow Jesus. You know, we gave up 20 years in a beautiful community and the amazing house that Tama had built and friends and safety. You know, but we gave that up to follow Jesus' call to come here because we really believe that that's what Jesus wanted us to do. I asked my kids, my three older kids, what they felt the cost or sacrifice had been in their lives as followers of Jesus. And Grace's response was quite powerful for me to hear, and I'm going to share that with you. This is what she said. Honestly, not really. Maybe that's a bad thing. I feel like we hear a lot about how this life will cost you something. But I think in our Western world, it doesn't cost much to be a Christian. It's pretty comfortable. But I probably don't put myself out there as much as I could. Maybe the only sacrifices I felt are standing up for moral things. But I actually feel like the sacrifice and cost is felt more among Christians instead of non-Christians. Like standing for stuff or against stuff that Christians are noisy and staunch about, and I take the less popular opinion. So Grace is an ally of the Rainbow community, and that's come at a cost for her in her relationships with other Christians. But it's also come with a reward. And this is what she said the reward is. The reward is being part of bridging the gap between groups that feel ostracized by Christians and the church. So being part of creating a bridge for those people to still be part of the church community, if they want to, by accepting them and not asking them to be different. The reward is also building relationships with people that are different from me. And that's what Jesus did. So I guess the reward is being more like him. Well, that was pretty cool. Listening to Jesus can be this uplifting, peaceful, and enriching experience, but it also can be really challenging, like these verses today. Jesus is really honest in these verses about what it means to follow him. He doesn't try and hide anything from us. His words are strong. And when this situation was happening in the Bible, there were these huge crowds that were traveling with him. And I wonder if part of why he was so strong and polarizing with what he said was because he wanted to make sure that people weren't just thoughtlessly kind of going along with the masses. He wanted to make sure that people weren't just swept up in the moment, but they actually knew the cost of what he was asking. They actually understood what it meant and what it means to be a follower of Jesus. This morning, I guess I want us to think about what else is God asking us to sacrifice in order to follow him. You may have made huge sacrifices in your life already, but what else is Jesus wanting you to do, to put down, to give over to him today? When you came in, you got given a piece of paper and a pen. And if anyone didn't, just wave your hand and someone will pass one to you. But this morning, I want us to spend some time thinking about what Jesus might be asking you to give up in order to deepen your relationship with him. It might be something big like a job change or seeking reconciliation with someone that you've got a strained relationship with. It might be something a little more day-to-day, like how much time are you spending on social media, or have you become lazy in your diet or exercise? Have you not gone out of your way to invite someone over for a meal? I think Jesus is always wanting to challenge us on what more we can do and what more we can give up in order to deepen and grow our relationship with him. We're going to have a song played now, and I just want you to spend a little bit of time and think about what it is that not a music song, a song on the projector song, to think about what your song, your time will come. Yeah. But I just want you to spend a little bit of time thinking about what it is that God might want you to sacrifice and give up. And then I want you to write it on that piece of paper. And when you feel ready, I want you to come and just put it in this jar, this bottle. I can't get anything out of this bottle, and later on, when I take it home, I'll just put a match in and burn what's in the bottle. I've done it before, it's all right, I know it works. But what is it that Jesus wants you to give up today in order to grow your relationship with him?
Ah.
We know sometimes following you comes at a cost, and some of us have faced huge things in our life and had to sacrifice huge things. But there's always more that we can do, Lord Jesus, and we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you help us. You help us with putting down the things that are getting in the way of us deepening our relationship with you. We thank you for your grace and your love and your forgiveness. And even if we stuff it up, Lord Jesus, that you just accept us for who we are and you're right there waiting, cheering us on, encouraging us, helping us. We hand these things over to you this morning, Lord Jesus. We thank you for loving us. We thank you that you gave the ultimate sacrifice for us.